We'll move on to our next presentation, be presented by Jenna Lindsay, Efficacy of Aphicides on Cotton Aphids and Their Natural Enemies. Jenna?
All right, well, I am Jenna Lindsay, and I'm going to talk today about the efficacy of aphicides on cotton aphids, Aphis gossypii, and their natural enemies. So in southern climates, the population is 100% female, and they have an enormous reproductive capacity. They reproduce asexually through parthenogenesis, and the nymphs are born pregnant, and a single female can produce 30 to 80 offspring in her lifetime, with new generations forming every 5 days. The aphids feed on the abaxial leaf surfaces, plant terminals, and sometimes the bracts of squares. They extract and ingest phloem sap using piercing-sucking mouthparts, and then excrete excess water and sugars in a substance called honeydew. It's very sticky. And the accumulation of honeydew can facilitate the growth of sooty mold, which will block sunlight, inhibiting photosynthesis, as well as it can cause the cotton lint to be very sticky and difficult to gin. And yield loss is dependent upon aphid population density, duration, and also time of infestation. These are just some pictures of cotton aphid injury. You can see the one on the left is very shiny from all the honeydew, and then the one on the right, you can see the wilting and the cupping of the leaves. So the objectives of my test were to evaluate the efficacy of these various insecticides on the cotton aphid, as well as their effects on the beneficial species, and then to evaluate direct versus indirect effects of these insecticides on lady beetle larvae with some bioassays. So for the field test, they were performed at Macon Ridge Research Station in Winnsboro, Louisiana. It was a 2x4 factorial with 4 replicates. The plots were 8 rows wide and measured 8.1 meters by 15.2 meters. And the treatments were applied on June the 21st using a 4-row multi-boom, 2 nozzles per row, and it was a CO2 pressurized system calibrated to deliver 93.5 liters per hectare with TX6 holocomb nozzles. The two factors in my test, factor A, we had seed treatment, which we had a non-treated, and then a thiomethoxam seed treatment, which we used Cruiser, and at 0.375 milligrams AI per seed. And then we had these foliar sprays. We had a thiomethoxam, an acetamiprid, and a sulfoxaflor at these rates. The data collection was performed by randomly selecting 10 leaves from rows 2 and 3 of each plot, and then we counted the beneficial species using a drop cloth in rows 6 and 7 of each plot, and then the data were analyzed using a complete factorial ANOVA, and means were separated using an F-protected pairwise t-test with a p is less than or equal to 0.05. And so getting into our results, this is just our aphid counts, 42 days post-planting, and then 5 days after the foliar sprays were applied. And we did see an interaction here. The blue bars are our non-seed treated plots, and then our reddish bars are our thiomethoxam seed treatment. And you do see a difference in these treatments. Especially in the non-treated and the thiomethoxam. The thiomethoxam foliar spray without the seed treatment, it did that is unacceptable control of the aphid, and it is documented resistant to thiomethoxam foliar spray. So that's not surprising there. But as far as acetamiprid and sulfoxaflor, you do see adequate control there. These are our lady beetle larvae counts 3 days after treatment, and here you can see in the non-treated a drastic amount difference there, with quite a few larvae being present in the non-seed treated plots versus the seed treated plots. And then you can see here that all of our foliar sprays did have an impact on the larvae. And then total predators 3 days after treatment, you see a similar pattern as you did with the lady beetle larvae, where we just see greater numbers present in the non-seed treated plots. versus the sea-treated plots, probably due to more aphids present there, so they have more to feed on. And lady beetle larvae did comprise 45% of our predator population, and that's why we chose them for our bioassays. So we did see that thymethoxam as a seed treatment exhibited very effective control of cotton aphids for at least 42 days post-planting, and our foliar treatments of sulfoxaflor and acetamiprid exhibited excellent activity toward the cotton aphid at 5 days after treatment, where our thymethoxam only performed moderately. And then we saw that all of the foliar applied insecticides did negatively impact our lady beetle larvae as well as our general predator population. So we asked, how is this larvae, lady beetle larvae mortality occurring? Is it direct contact? Is it the actual spray being applied, spraying on the larvae? Is it indirect contact where they're walking over the plant and the leaves after it's been sprayed? Or is it ingestion of the aphids after they have come in contact with the spray? So getting into our lady beetle larvae bioassays, we used the same foliar sprays, thymethoxam, acetamiprid, sulfoxaflor, and then we also added a flonicamide into this test at these rates, and they all included kinetic, the non-ionic surfactant kinetic. And the treatments were applied with a CO2 pressurized 2-row hand boom with TX6 holocone nozzles calibrated to deliver 93.5 liters per hectare. And they were the bioassays were just performed using leaf discs that we cut and placed in on top of auger in petri dishes. And we used third to fourth instar lady beetle larvae. So our three treatments for our assays were direct exposure, where we cut the leaf discs and then placed them in the dish and put the larvae in there and sprayed on top of the dish right over the larvae. We had 4 reps of 10 lady beetle larvae each, and then mortality was rated 24 hours later. And then the indirect exposure, we sprayed the leaves, let them dry, then cut the discs and placed them in the dish with the larvae. And we also had 4 replicates of 10 there, and mortality was rated 24 hours later. And then for the ingestion bioassay, we sprayed the leaves, let them dry, cut the discs and put them in the dish, and then abaxially surface up, and then put 10 adult aphids in each dish. So we ended up with 4 replicates of 10 subsamples, 10 aphids per dish. We let them feed for 24 hours before adding the larvae, and then once the larvae were added, we waited an additional 24 hours before rating mortality. And data were analyzed using a one-way ANOVA Kruskal-Wallis test, and a pairwise comparison were made using a Dunn's multiple comparison t-test with a p is less than 0.05. So these are just pictures of how we did the assays. Those are the leaf discs, how we cut the leaf disc, had them in the dish, sprayed the leaves. And then this is our data from our direct exposure, and you do see significant differences here between our treatments, with acetamiprid being particularly toxic to our lady beetle larvae with just over 80% mortality here. And then thymethoxam coming in next with just under 50% mortality, and then sulfoxaflor a little bit lower, and flonicamide not differing from our non-treated. And then we have our data here for indirect exposure, which we saw no significant differences between the treatments. All of them were below 20% mortality, just telling us that the treatments were probably safe once dried onto the leaf. They weren't as toxic to the larvae. And then with our ingestion of intoxicated aphids, we also saw no significant differences, but we believe that the aphids might not have been able to feed long enough before we added the larvae, or there might have not been enough aphids in the dish to have an effect on the larvae. So those are two possible elements that may have caused us to see this, no significant differences in this. So in our direct exposure, our acetamiprid was particularly toxic to lady beetle larvae. Thymethoxam and sulfoxaflor were moderately toxic, where flonicamide did not differ from the non-treated. In our indirect exposure, we observed no significant differences, again, possibly just meaning that it was safe once dried onto the leaf. And then in our ingestion of intoxicated aphids, we did not see any significant differences. And so the next time that I perform this test, I am definitely going to let the aphids feed longer and possibly add more than 10 aphids to the dish in the first place in the beginning. So. And I would just like to thank the Louisiana Cotton Producers Association, my major professor, Dr. David Kearns, Shelby Williams, Carla Emfinger, Nate Jones, and C. Brown, and the student workers and staff of Macon Ridge Research Station. Thank you, and do you have any questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
Are your intoxicated aphids?
Yes.
Did you happen to notice
that
they were
competing
on the
olive? Well, we did have kind of had a problem in some of the dishes of the aphids getting under the leaf discs, but most of them we were able to keep the disc down, and they did try to feed on the leaf and didn't really feed. If they got under the disc, they weren't feeding on the auger. They just died under there, or they weren't feeding on it. No, they were just trying to feed on the leaf if they fed at all. Any more questions?
Any more questions for Jenna? All right, thank you.